God's word tells us that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all of mankind. Here's our teacher, Mike McIntosh, with this observation.
Don't just have a form of godliness and deny the power of God, because God wants to supernaturally fill you with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Joel, it says, before the return of the Lord, that God will pour out his spirit upon all men and women. The young men and the young women are going to have visions, and they're going to prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams. I've been dreaming more lately than I have been having those visions, but many of you are being called to God to serve him, and you've known it since you're a little boy, since you're a little girl. You've just known that God has his hand on your life, and you get close to him, and you pull back, and you get close to him, and you pull back, and you can't run from him, you can't hide from him. He's wanting to give you wisdom beyond your years.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is Chapter and Verse, a weekday Bible study led by Mike McIntosh. Currently, Mike is leading us through an interesting and informative survey of the book of Proverbs. Today, we're presenting the conclusion of a message from chapter 17 that's titled, Dry Morsel. As Christians, many times we can experience a time of dryness when it comes to our relationship with God. Let me assure you, God hasn't gone anywhere. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Most often, our times of spiritual dryness are upon us because we have turned from God through a lack of prayer and fellowship. Jesus continues to stand at the door of our lives, wanting to fellowship with us and give us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us as we journey through the dark times and very desolate world. Now let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 17 as we present part 3 of the message, Dry Morsel.
Give it up! And then he goes away very sorrowful because he had many possessions. So here's a guy that was actually possessed by his possessions. And he had enough religion to know the right questions to ask, but he wasn't willing to let go of this world to get eternal life. And that's really sorrowful. So in the sixth proverb, the ninth proverb, if you'll go there, back to Proverbs 17, sixth verse, children, the grandchildren, are the crown of old men. And I say yay to that. And the glory of children is their father. I've been trying to tell that to my kids forever. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, because you don't expect a fool to have excellent speech, much less lying lips to a prince. So somebody in authority shouldn't have lying lips. A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now, this does not say cover up. It's not talking about cover up. It's saying, let's say that you have a friend and she lives two doors down, and you know that she got in trouble the other night for something with the police, we'll say. And it was a misdemeanor. She's totally humiliated, embarrassed. And you come along and you are involved in the deal, so you have inside information. And then the next morning, you're jogging with your four friends along the boardwalk at Mission Beach, and you have the chance to have something to talk about and to draw attention to yourself. So you say, did you know that she was in trouble last night and this happened and the cops were there and then they asked me and I went and bailed her out and she's all in this trouble? Or you have the choice to say nothing and cover the sin. That's what it's saying. It's not a cover-up. It's just that your love for that person means more to you than you getting the attention for having the little morsel that's going to tickle everybody's ears. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. So now, if you are a rumor monger and you're a person that knows things and you go talk about other people, ultimately, people won't want to be around you because they can't trust you. And they can't trust you because you're not honorable. And so Solomon says, you don't want to be like that person. Verse 10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So a wise man is always seeking the things that are right. So if he gets rebuked for doing something wrong, he will learn immediately from that rebuke. Whereas a fool may take 100 punches in the chops to get his attention. So if you are wrong and somebody reproves and rebukes you for being wrong, they should do it, of course, in the spirit of humility. But you should learn from that. But the fool said, get out of here. Who are you? Always defending yourself instead of letting it happen that you can be a new person. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and therefore a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So that's one to watch out for. If you have friends that are fighters and they're always getting in trouble and hassles, you know, well, that person's got an attitude problem. And Solomon is saying about this guy, he's seeking rebellion. So when judgment comes, God's just going to send a really cruel messenger. Or the devil is going to send the cruel messenger. And this person's going to get roughed up. So when you see people that are getting hassled, you may want to step back and pray for them and say, well, Lord, you know they are strivers and contentious people, and they're always looking for bad things, and now they're getting it. So God has some pretty cruel messengers out there, I guess. The devil definitely does. Now, this is an interesting verse. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. That's interesting. Well, the little things that we can think about is people go to Yosemite and they see the bears and, oh, isn't that little cub cute? And they pick up the cub and then the mother sees it and comes and rips her tonsils out. Or they're banging in the car trying to get through. You just don't mess with a bear and her cubs, and you don't walk between them either. You get in between them, that bear is nothing's going to stop it from getting to you. So a person that's caught in their folly is going to be embarrassed, intimidated, humiliated, and probably really angry that you caught them in their folly. So they're just going to explode and they're going to come unglued and they'll do anything to destroy you because you know something that you don't want anybody else to know about you. So if you can imagine, being caught with a bear cub is better than being involved with somebody who's caught in their folly. You can realize how stupid it is for us to get into trouble. Now go to the Old Testament again. Go to your right this time to the book of Amos. Amos. A-M-O-S. It's right next to the book of Andy. Amos and Andy, they're right there. Now look at the fifth chapter of Amos. Hear this word which I take up against you, a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land, and there is no one to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100, she shall have 10 left in the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. This is what America should be doing right now. Seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. Seek me and live. That's very personal. And then seek the Lord in general and live to the broader audience. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and he devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. See, God is still dealing with Israel. And right now in Israel, there are groups of people that are going from around the world that are helping them stock bomb shelters, paint them, refresh them, put equipment in, right now as we're here. So we live in a very precarious time where most people don't have the wisdom to know the bigger picture of what the news is saying or not saying, and we miss it. But Israel is still being dealt with by God. And its enemies, we are told, will ultimately surround it on all sides, and it'll become a stumbling block to all nations, that Jerusalem, the Bible says, will be a stumbling block to all nations. When it says all nations, it doesn't say all nations except for the United States of America, who has always supported her. It doesn't say that. Because we know from the book of Revelation that an army of 200 million men are going to march from the east and come towards the Middle East and cross the Euphrates River. And there's a country right now that can house and man and get moving 200 million soldiers. It's called China. And we owe China, basically, we're getting close to the point that we owe them a lot of our assets. And they tried to get the Long Beach Harbor. That didn't work out for them. Now they're down south of Ensenada getting ready to build a harbor. But there's no train system. And people are saying, why does China want to be just south of San Diego with one of the biggest harbors on the whole West Coast? Guys, it's a big world out there, and it's an ugly world. And there are plans to go against the nations that stand up for God and His people. And America is not seen in Bible prophecy. And here you can see that God would say to America what He said to Israel. And He still says to Israel, seek me and live. Seek the Lord and live. And though you had something going for you one time, don't try to find it again. You just need to get back to me and quit like the young rich ruler, holding on to everything, and really seek me and live with eternal life. Now, with no one to quench the fire, verse 7, you who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. God made the Pleiades and Orion. And here they are, right here, before we even had our science classes. Pleiades and Orion. He turns the shadow of death into morning. He makes one day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. He rains ruin upon the strong so that the fury comes upon the fortress. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone for yourselves, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards. You shall not drink wine from them. And I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes. I know the diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. We've been turned into a people that mock the poor, that scoff at the word of God, turn from the things of God's house, and yet we'll turn towards the things that are wicked and evil. We are being manipulated as a people to turn away from the things that made us great, and in doing so, we end up being like the young rich ruler that is not willing to let go of this world and the things of this world, that we may actually get that which we know that is available for us. So here in the fifth chapter, if you'll follow me down, it's just telling how perverted the system is. Therefore, the prudent keep silent. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. And as you have spoken, hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord says this, there shall be wailing in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. They shall call the farmer to mourning, otherwise the farming businesses are going to dry up. Skillful lamenters to wailing. The vineyards shall be wailing, because I shall pass through you, saith the Lord. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is that day of the Lord to you? It'll be darkness, and it's not going to be light. It'll be as though man fled from a lion, and he met a bear instead. Or though he went into the house, as he went into the house, he leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Otherwise, things are going to be happening that will be so chaotic, you wouldn't be putting your hand on the wall and get bit by a serpent. You wouldn't think in your wildest dreams there'd be a serpent on the wall. But everything's going to be topsy-turvy, upside down. And one of the things we know that Jesus himself said before his return and the end of the age, there'd be earthquakes in various places. And we just had this one up in L.A. I talked to David Rosales, who lives in Chino Hills, where that hit, and his church is there in Chino. He said he's been here his whole life. That was the strongest quake he'd ever felt in the L.A. basin. And now we're being told there could be more coming. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your religious feast. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I'm not going to accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. So take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So it would take wisdom to let it run like water and flow like a mighty stream, justice and righteousness. And so as we finish here on the 17th chapter, he begins to tell us about our lips and our mouth and the words we use, and we can see justice or injustice, or we can see righteousness or unrighteousness. Follow along here as we close. The beginning of strife, verse 14, is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. So now you're told that you've got a roommate that's really always uptight, striving, whatever, they're a contentious person. He tells you there's a way to handle this. Before the strife can ever happen and you see it coming, just don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to get the last word in. Don't try to make the point. Just smile and go to the next room or something, you know. And you can have justice flowing, or you can have contentiousness like releasing water. He who justifies the wicked, so this is lack of justice, and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. That's scary, because we have a lot of injustice being justified right now. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? See, the young rich ruler had a lot of money. He was recognized by the crowd, and he had the right questions, but he didn't have the right heart. And that's what he's saying right here. Why is it there in the hand of a fool, the price, the purchase price is wisdom, and yet he doesn't have the heart for it? Don't just have a form of godliness and deny the power of God, because God wants to supernaturally fill you with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Joel, it says, before the return of the Lord, that God will pour out a spirit upon all men and women. The young men and the young women are going to have visions, and they're going to prophesy. And the old men will dream dreams. I've been dreaming more lately than I have been having those visions. But many of you are being called to God to serve Him. And you've known it since you're a little boy. Since you're a little girl, you've just known that God has His hand on your life. And you get close to Him and you pull back, and you get close to Him and you pull back. And you can't run from Him. You can't hide from Him. He's wanting to give you wisdom beyond your years, that you can help see the problems and not just talk about change. You need to change on the inside. You can have all that form of godliness, just like that young rich ruler, but yet holding on so tightly to this world that you're no good to yourself, you're no good to this world, and you're no good to God's kingdom. But the moment you'll let go and you'll answer God's call in your life, God is going to empower you, that you're going to speak forth utterances that only God could give you. And you're going to have visions of the end times, and you're going to see the problems, and you're going to be a part of the solution to get the bride of Christ ready for the return of Jesus Christ. So in these last couple of verses, I'd like to point out to you the 20th verse, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. So Paul the Apostle told Timothy, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled, all things are defiled. It goes like this. You say, you know, that was really neat. I really enjoyed what we just did, you know, riding our bikes up Laguna and back down the hills there. And the other person says, yeah, but it sure was dusty and dirty and sweaty and hot and tired. It's negative. Or it's you saying something, you know, I really like, oh yeah, but if you really knew what I knew, see, to the pure, you see the good in life. But to the defiled, everything is defiled because they have impurity in their heart. So their mind is impure, and the filter of their eyes looking at the world is impure. They can't see the good of God. So God wants to take the veil off, and He wants to take the scale off of our eyes, and He wants us to see that you have been prepared for the end times. You're alive at a time that history has never seen anything what we are facing right now. A merry heart, verse 22. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So if you're a happy person and things are going well, especially if your sin is released from you, man, it's giving you health. But if you're burdened down and your spirit is sad and broken, it's drying up your bones and you get depressed. So you need to let the joy of the Holy Ghost just fill you, overflowing. A wicked man accepts a bride behind the back, and the reason is to pervert the ways of justice. Verse 26. Also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. It's not good to punish good people. Verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. So if a person doesn't have understanding, their spirit's always going to be very, very restless and just edgy. But if you have understanding, things rock your boat, but most of the time you're able to have an even keel. But he who has knowledge spares his word. Now look at this one. Even to a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. And when he shuts his lips, he's considered very perceptive. So you can look at a guy and he doesn't say a word and everybody else is talking. You say, man, he's really smart. That guy, I wonder what he thinks about this. So I think that's where I should stop right there. Let's stand and let's pray. God, we thank you for your words of wisdom. And we thank you for your insights through Solomon. And we thank you that you would bless us with the wisdom from heaven. We're very grateful for that, Lord. We're very grateful that we just aren't sitting here reading some old manuscripts and having to burn some incense and candles right now, or to talk to a stupid-looking piece of wood that's carved out with a mouth that can't speak and ears that can't hear and eyes that can't see. But rather, we're here with you. And we're your sons and we're your daughters. And you're loving on us right now. And you're speaking with us. And you're teaching us. And you're wanting to lead us. And how wonderful to think that you're not afraid to let us become wise. There are so many people in the world that hold other people back. They don't want them smarter than them. But yet here you are willing to pour out wisdom to everyone who asks. As these men and women stand before you, I sense, Lord, that there's many of them that you have called to the service of your kingdom. And they have not answered that call. They've known since they're little boys. They've known since they're little girls. And they have not answered that call. They've gotten close to you, just like that young rich ruler, but when the chips are down, the world was much better. So Lord, I'm asking right now that you would touch these men and women, and they would respond to your call to not only receive your wisdom, but to receive the power of your Holy Ghost, that they could be able to touch other lives, like David, loving on Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. May we turn around with our lives and our wisdom and love other people and serve this world and help people alleviate their pain and suffering by bringing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, this is really a great time because some of you have heard God speak to you and you hear the wisdom to seek God and live. Seek Him and live. Seek the Lord and live. And yet, whatever it is you've been seeking up until this very moment isn't really bringing you life. It's only passing time and pointing you towards death. So I'd like to pray, Father, that you would touch their hearts and bless them in a powerful way right now and anoint them with your Holy Ghost. And as we're praying and as we're singing this next song, I'm going to ask that the ministers would all come up, and all of you that have heard God call you, you may not know what it's about, but we're just going to pray with you. And God's going to unleash His Spirit in you. And just like the night I was in a meeting like this, that I went home when I responded, I just knew that my life was changed and something good was going to happen. And I wanted to serve. So I pray, Lord, you'll do the same for those that are here in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh with the conclusion of a teaching that reminds us that when we experience times of spiritual dryness, we need to stop, turn our eyes from the cares of this world, and focus on God's love, the love He gave us in His Son, Jesus Christ. You're invited to tune in Thursday on Chapter and Verse as we proceed in our survey of Proverbs and present the message, Taking Responsibility and Control of Our Tongue. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and that's why we've devoted 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Proverbs, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. We'll continue our study of Proverbs on the next CNV broadcast with Mike McIntosh, and we hope that you'll join us then. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.